Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
Now we are here.
Just think of the time.
Oh, you don't have to think about it right here, right now. And a whole heck of a lot has gone down since the last time we signed off the air, partner.
Just a couple little things.
You know, we're, I don't want to say we, because we weren't. You were saying, hey, relax a little bit. I was not freaking out.
No, you weren't.
By any means, but I was like, I was expecting to at least hear the Broncos in the mix for somebody. Like, it was radio silence up until the point we signed off the air yesterday. But two major events happen, and we'll start with the first, and that is the Denver Broncos signing former Texans DB Kareem Jackson. He intends to sign a three-year, $33 million deal that includes $23 million of that guaranteed. What did you think when you heard the news?
I thought it was a great signing. You're getting a veteran player that has been around for a while, a guy that you know what you're going to get from him, not afraid to tackle, just a really good football player is what he is. And that's what you're looking for. You were looking for somebody opposite of Chris Harris that you didn't throw a Band-Aid on that position. And that's what they did last year. Besides, you know, with Roby, and then it was Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid.
Tremaine Brock, Adam Jones, Jamar Taylor.
This guy is 30 years old, about to be 31, Kareem Jackson.
Yep.
Still got some good football left in him. I remember him last year against the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he played in that game, he was like a man possessed. I don't know if it was the Mile High or what was going on there, but he played at a whole nother level. I mean, he was coming up and hitting folks.
Phillip Lindsay is still taking ice baths.
Yes, and there were some other ones in there also. He's not afraid to tackle, just a good football player, right? That's what you're looking for. And certainly you needed to address that position. And I thought they did a good job of doing that. So I thought that move was two thumbs up, nice work, really, really good signing, solid signing. You're getting a good football player at a critical position for the Broncos. So I loved it. What were your overall thoughts?
If I had three thumbs, I'd stick them all up.
Oh,
but I only got two.
You only got two.
So that's what's pointing north here.
If you had four, what would you do?
They'd probably all be north.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you go like north, south, south, or whatever, like north, east, east. It kind of altered a little bit, get it more specified. North, north, north.
Oh. I love
Kareem Jackson. You could argue he's coming off one of his best seasons. I mean, a career high 87 tackles. Now I do want to talk about this for a second, that he did play a lot of safety last year. He was a cornerback throughout his career, played a ton of safety last year, ended up going back to corner because of injuries to the secondary, but he's a guy that can do both. Not anticipating that he's going to do both, but it's something to keep in mind that he can do both. He can play both at a high level.
Great point. Certainly you would probably prefer him to play cornerback, but the more that you can do, the more versatile that you are, that's what you want defensively in the secondary, right? Can he play inside? Can he play outside? Can you play safety? Can you play corner? I mean, the more you can do, the more valuable you are. And certainly that's a player like Kareem Jackson. Can play safety for you, can go in the box. He tackles. He's not afraid of contact, can play outside. Very, very valuable player, and it reminds me of like an offensive lineman that can play guard and tackle, center and guard. Those guys are really valuable. You see the contract that Billy Turner got.
Yeah, how about that? Good for Billy.
But it's certainly a guy like Kareem Jackson brings that to the table, and that's what you want. As a coach, you want a guy that can you feel great about doing a lot of different things with. Great signing by the Broncos.
Love it. And I know a handful of folks have mentioned this, but you go back to what Vic Fangio said at the Combine, that he said, tackling on defense is non-negotiable. Well, Kareem Jackson, you don't have to worry about him getting physical. This dude, I know you, I know, for whatever reason, you got, you have a little bit of, I don't want to say an axe to grind, but you like have been.
It's overrated.
Clear to say, I don't need my cornerback to be some expert tackler. I need you to cover.
Right.
Do you mind just breaking down why you've taken this? Because there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do both.
Well, I just think it's a little bit overrated. You know, people are like, well, he tackles, or this guy doesn't tackle. Look, I don't want a guy that doesn't want contact at all. But I prefer a guy, hey, just let me know how he covers, please. Really? In today's NFL, I want a cover guy. And if you're not going to pick a guy or draft a guy or sign a guy because he's not the best tackler, then I'm like, I'd just rather him not give up 70-yard touchdowns through the air. To me, that's more important than this tackling thing, okay? And I get it. You got to tackle sometimes.
And this tackling thing.
Listen, you know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not dismissing it altogether.
Right.
It is important. You need to tackle. Okay?
But you just prioritize it.
Yes, and way ahead of that is cover skills and being able to cover guys. The tackling thing's way at the bottom, just like for receivers, blocking. Like, okay, look, do I need you to be a great blocker? No, just kind of get in the way and just do a decent job. I want you catching touchdowns.
Right.
In the same way I'm feeling about the tight end position. Just catch touchdowns, convert third downs, move the chains. This blocking stuff, we'll coach you up. Just be serviceable. Just don't have an attitude where you don't want to try to block at all, right?
Sure.
Just give me effort. But I want to see you catch a touchdown. Same thing with the cornerback position. Look, if you can tackle, that's great. But it's not high on my list of to-do things for the cornerback position. Cover guys. I don't want to see 70-yard touchdowns against Robbie Anderson.
Right, right. Well, it's a good start with Kareem Jackson because he can do both. He can do both. If you need him to be physical, if you need him to be a thumper, if you need him to take someone's head off, Kareem Jackson's the guy for the job. But also, you're talking about covering, and I know it doesn't, you know, stats can lie. It doesn't all boil down to, you know, passes broken up or passes defended. 17 of those this past year. 17 pass breakups for Kareem Jackson. I'm not looking at the league stats, but I'd be willing to wager that's got decent placement on the list for the 2018 season. And let me just say this about Kareem Jackson, too, and this hasn't been talked about enough from what I have heard, that the guy's availability is as rock solid as you will find at that position. These are his games played since he walked into the NFL in the year 2010. 16 games, 15, 16, 14, 13, 12, 14, 16, 16. The dude has never played less than three quarters of a season, and he's only played less than 14 twice in his career, coming off consecutive years of playing 16 and 16. I'm real optimistic about this. High on it.
Yeah, very available. And a good football player. So, you know, a lot of people were panicking yesterday on Twitter, and what are the Broncos doing? And, you know, just be patient. They made some really solid moves, and it started with Kareem Jackson. So that was a position of need, and then the dominoes got rolling, and then bam, you see the move that they made next, and they're heading in the right direction.
And let's go there. John Elway went all in addressing the right tackle. What does it mean for our expectations up front? That's next. John Elway went all in on addressing the right tackle. Stoke, we weren't sure how he was going to go about this. We've talked and highlighted some of the moves of the past that have been, you know, reaches and, you know, paying a guy like Menelik Watson or Donald Stevenson or Jared Valdir, who was fine, by the way. But John seemed to take this as seriously as anything else. Because former Miami Dolphins right tackle, who was a former first-round pick out of Tennessee, I think he was 19th overall a handful of years ago, he intends to sign a four-year deal for $51 million. That deal includes $32 million guaranteed, his agent said earlier today, I guess. the deal will pay Juwan James the most of any right tackle in pro football, Stoke.
Okay. Another good signing. Obviously, needed a lot of help on the offensive line, right?
For sure.
The tackle positions. Right tackle position has been an evolving door for years. Mistake after mistake after mistake. Oh, yeah, let's throw in another mistake. Just for the heck of it. So if you have a chance to get it right, you know what? If you overpay a little bit, who cares? Right? I mean, who really cares? Just like if you spend too much to move up to draft a quarterback, who cares if you draft the right guy? If you get it solved. So if you get this right tackle position solved and fixed, I really don't care what the contract looks like. You could have guaranteed the whole dang thing.
Mm. Give him that Cousins deal.
Give him the Cousins deal.
Come in and play right tackle.
Right. All of it's guaranteed. Another really, really good signing. On paper. Right? On paper. Now these guys got to go out there and perform, and we'll see how they perform. But
sure.
On paper, you go cross out a cornerback position spot, and you cross out the right tackle spot.
It's huge.
I mean, it's, yes, it is a big, big deal. Those are premium positions. And to be able to get two frontline starters at those positions and to get them crossed off your list, and I don't have to worry about drafting a right tackle and missing, now you might draft a left tackle, then look, great job, great move. Because I don't want to find these, you know, we've tried to do the bargain thing at right tackle.
Oh, we certainly have. You don't want to hear the list, do you?
I mean, I got time if you want to.
Are you?
Do you have
are
the
you,
list?
Are you?
Oh, sorry. I can't even believe I disrespected you like that.
Check this out.
Do you have the list?
Check this out.
I'm ashamed. Sorry. I apologize.
Since Orlando Franklin, our guy, walked out that door, these are the players who have started at right tackle in the last 5 years. Okay? This is only five seasons of football. Chris Clark, Lou Vasquez, Ryan Harris, sup, Ry? Michael Schofield, Donald Stevenson, Ty Sambrylo, Menelik Watson, Alan Barber, Cyrus Kwanjo, Billy Turner, Jared Valdir. That's one position in the last five seasons. I just gave you 11 names.
Crazy.
I mean, are you kidding? And as we were... I think it was in our final segment yesterday, Stoke. I said, you want to know what? We do have a handful of things that we need to fill. But instead of trying to take, you know, $2 and $3 million bubblegum and fill them all at once, why don't we just spend what we need to spend and make sure that we're putting Flex Seal over the hole? Now, we may have some others that we need to address in the draft, and we may need to microwave someone's development or whatever, but at least we'll know. We overspent, but we got it taken care of. And that's what they went out and did.
Yep, absolutely. You know, you look at the cornerback position and the right tackle position. I mean, two solid football players right there. And what it allows you to do for me and what it gets me excited about, it frees you up in the draft. It frees you up now to go a lot of different directions. You could still take a left tackle. You could. Not likely, but you could if there was somebody you loved, okay? You looked at me a little crazy there. I mean, it frees you up,
sure.
Is what it does. And so that to me gets me excited. They're not like they were a few years ago where the writing was on the wall, they're taking a left tackle at 20.
Right, right.
If one's available at all.
Right.
So I like these moves a lot. It really, really has got me feeling good about the direction that this team is heading. It does. And obviously, they got to do it on the football field. But, man, to get Kareem Jackson and to get Juwan James and to get those positions crossed off the list is that's a great start, a really great start to free agency. And they could do nothing else. Go try to find some bargain basement deals here.
Sure.
Later on in free agency, whatever. But to start with those two guys, that's moving in the right direction, and two big signings, big signings.
And in the case of Juwan James and Kareem Jackson, for that matter, but I was just going to focus on James here for a second. You could very easily argue that this guy is playing his best football. You know, as he has gotten older, this past year was the fifth year of his first-round contract. They picked up that fifth year, actually made him the highest-paid right tackle in football this past year when he was making close to $9.5 million. But if you remember, the Dolphins' boys up front were some of the best. They were some of the best in the NFL, and the tackle combination of Juwan James and Laremy Gas Mask Tunzel. they had been one of the best duos.
That video? Oh, of course. Oh, gracious, what was going on?
I'll never forget it.
Oh my god, who could?
And then he kept on falling in the first round, and then you find out it's his stepdad trying to sabotage him,
blackmailing him. And
I mean, what a story that was. But the tackle combination of those two was one of the best in the sport.
Yep.
He's now coming here, hopefully getting the best coaching of his life. And hopefully we can be talking about Garrett Bowles and Juwan James like they in Miami were talking about Juwan James and Laremy Tunzel, with just great bookend tackles, and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be really nice. I'm really just tired of going into free agency and spending money on guys that don't work out at right tackle. And I think they are too.
It's been a cycle, man.
Right. And so to make this move right here, this says, hey, we're not going to have to worry about this for 3-4 years. And that would be a really, really nice thing for the Broncos. And I guarantee you, Garrett Bowles will be better than what he was last year and the year before with Mike Munchak. To go out and get a cornerback opposite of Chris Harris. I mean, that's a great 1-2 combination. Look, Aqib Talib was just getting old. All right? I mean, that's why we had to let him go. His price tag, he was getting old. That was a good move for the Broncos. You're getting a guy, a football player in Kareem Jackson that is upgrading your secondary, and that is very versatile, that will tackle. Those are two really, really good moves. I was impressed by both of those because I was going to bed just thinking that, you know, they're just going to be real quiet early on. They'll make some moves here, but no big moves. And so to go bam, bam with these two, great first day for the Denver Broncos in free agency.
To spin it forward, how much more optimistic are you about the Broncos season now that John Elway's aggressive first day in free agency has resulted in two frontline starters? I want to dive into it next. And big accus. you got to help me here.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Acquisitions.
Oh, okay.
Acquisitions. Ooh, there we go.
There we go.
There's a lot going on across the league right now. We're trying to keep up with it as it happens. If anything big breaks, we'll be sure to bump in and let you know. But before we get to that, and by the way, that does include Le'Veon Bell, which I am expecting to hear his destination before we get off the air today. Hearing the Ravens, hearing potentially the Jets. Also, there's been reports about the Raiders involved with Le'Veon Bell. So we'll hang tight on that. Again, expecting to hear before we sign off the air today. But as it relates to Broncos country, Stoke, you seemed very optimistic about the signings of Kareem Jackson and Juwan James. How has this, if at all, I have no expectations with your answer here, but has it affected how optimistic you are about this Broncos roster week one here?
A lot more optimistic. I mean, these are impact players day one. Impact players. Big time impact players at key positions that when you look at this roster, you're like, well, we got a big void to fill. Bradley Roby's going to be gone. Who's going to play right tackle for us? We don't even know if we have a left tackle being paired. I mean, so there's so many questions concerning those positions. And to get frontline starters day one and get that crossed off the list, to-do list, look, it has me feeling a lot more optimistic. Right now, as we sit here today and last night when the signings came in, look, it put a smile on my face because I'm tired of watching bad football. And I think they're moving in the right direction. You pair that with an upgrade at the quarterback position, Now, all these guys got to go out there and do it, right? This is off-season talk. But at the same time, I'm much more optimistic than what I was yesterday, a week before, 2 weeks before. Really good, solid football moves to improve your football team in 2019.
And it's founded optimism, isn't it? It's not just, hey, the Broncos made a move, and it's a change, and something's different, therefore I'm optimistic. No, you can look at the body of work for both of these guys. And they're both upgrades, legitimate upgrades. And someone asks, you know, did the Broncos gain more than they lost? That's an interesting question. But at the two positions that we've acquired, it'd be hard to argue that they lost more than they gained. I mean, a major upgrade for Kareem Jackson over Bradley Roby.
Yeah.
And
this guy's been a starter.
Right.
You know,
I mean, for years.
Right.
And then a major upgrade in terms of Juwan James, hopefully being the resolution on the right side of that offensive line. Jared Valdir was fine, but we're hoping Juwan James can be the version of himself that he's been in Miami, which would be another significant upgrade.
It would. I mean, both of those guys.
Bless you. Bringing the heat.
Whoa. Huge upgrades over where we were. In key spots, key positions, frees you up in the draft now. Frees you up more to take that best player available and not be pigeonholed on certain positions. So I like the moves. Phil's needs now, impact players now to help you this year win football games. So really good start. I mean, the Broncos didn't have, you know, all this excess money to compete with certain teams for certain positions. So to be able to go out there and get key spots, key positions, a front-line starting cornerback and a front-line starting right tackle, those are big wins for the Broncos. And maybe they had to pay a little bit more than some other teams, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares if they spent a few more extra million or gave five more guaranteed than maybe they had to? Whenever we're not looking for a right tackle next year, and we said, oh, that Juwan James guy was a really good player for us, it doesn't matter. So in the grand scheme of things, they got two really good football players and addressed two big needs moving forward, and they helped their football team out right away.
Right away. And we also got to remember that, and we didn't really highlight this or emphasize this enough yesterday. We're like, hey, you know, the Broncos haven't really done anything yet. We're sort of anxiously waiting. We did change quarterbacks. You know, like, there's only a handful of teams that are going to do that, and it's hard to find a more fundamental wholesale change than swapping out quarterbacks. And when we think of the most important positions in football, it was Pete Carroll a year or two ago was saying, hey, quarterback, cornerback, pass rusher, tackle. Well, we upgraded at quarterback, we upgraded at right tackle, and we upgraded at corner. We have terrific pass rushers. You always say this, Stoke. You say, hey, you can flip this quickly in the NFL. If you get it right, you can flip it quick. And hopefully, again, this is all with the caveat that, and you've been clear in saying this, and I'm glad you have, this is on paper. They got to go out and play well. We know that, but you can say that about any move across the league. They got to go do it. They got to stay healthy. They're too innately built-in caveats. But on paper, I'm a whole hell of a lot more excited doing today's
more
show.
More optimistic?
Yeah, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, you think about they're not just positional upgrades. They're like fundamental importance to the game. And you could argue that any position in football can hurt you or help you. But when we talk about cornerback and tackle, these are big, big moves that John Elway just made. And he was as aggressive yesterday as I hoped that he would be.
And I didn't mind the inactivity at all. You were hoping that they would fill some needs. But with their situation, I thought that they might just go middle of the road to lower end guys and take that approach this year. But they surprised me by being able to go out there and get two frontline guys. I was surprised by that. I wasn't expecting it. Didn't think it could happen. didn't think that they could pull it off, but guess what? They did. So you give them credit over there for making these types of moves and for getting these types of players and making it happen. So, you know, kudos to those guys over there at Elway and Company for being aggressive, finding hopefully the right guys, and filling positions of great need. I'm tired of talking about right tackle.
Yeah.
And how bad it's been.
Yeah.
Tired of it. So hopefully Juwan James can fix that. The opposite cornerback spot with Kareem Jackson. I mean, just a really good football player. I mean, perfect for Vic Fangio. You know, perfect fit for him and his defense. So it's it'd be interesting to see if they got any cash left over to do anything else. Will there be another splashy move?
Which of the two moves that we found out yesterday do you think will have a bigger impact? And if you had to have just one of these go down, which would you have chosen? Excuse me.
I would choose. Wow. I see you writing something down.
Because I...
You're going to guess what I'm going to guess?
I'm writing down what I feel. Oh. So if it happens to be what you say, I
can't
get charged
say that
with
you
plagiarism.
You cheated off
right.
of me. You do that a lot, by the way.
Because you accuse me a lot. You force me. You
cheat.
You make me do this.
Did you do that in school? Well, not. Another day?
Another day.
Okay.
I did anything I possibly could to pass Spanish class. 10th grade. Couldn't graduate without it. Yeah, I was in a class with freshmen because I was doing it over again.
Oof. Yeah. Got to do what you got to do sometimes.
It's like applied Spanish. I needed an extra application.
I had to take French.
Yo soy fiesta.
That's like a second language for you down there.
Yeah,
Fai, isn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly. Right tackle. Right tackle for me. Right tackle for me. If I had to choose between Kareem Jackson or Juwan James, I would go Juwan James, right tackle spot. I just need a huge upgrade on this offensive line. It's been a mess. It's hard to find these guys in the draft. So if you can find one here and get one here in free agency, go do it. We're a mess all over the place up front. I mean, Paradis, I don't even know what his situation is right now, but he might be gone. We don't know about Bowles. How is he going to play this year? I mean, who are our guards? I mean, so right tackle for me, I would choose the right tackle spot. We got to get better offensively, and it starts up front.
What I wrote down is that Kareem Jackson may be a better football player, but because of the desperation at right tackle, that's why I would choose Juwan James as well.
Perfect. We're in sync.
That we just need it. We started 11 guys at right tackle in the last 5 years. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will bring some sort of stability to that position. And hopefully two things happen at the same time. I mean, I'm getting pushback on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. That, you know, hey, Kareem Jackson isn't the upgrade that you guys think he is. I watch him every week and he can get burnt and things like that. Look, it's not going to be perfect.
Right.
Like, at that position, it's just never going to be perfect. And I feel like every fan base gets down on their own cornerbacks and tackles.
Right.
Because the emphasis of getting beat at those two positions is so glaring. It results in picks or big touchdowns and sacks. So I'm excited about it. I've watched the guy play. He's been doing his thing in the league for a long time. And if you believe in, you know, metrics like Pro Football Focus, Kareem Jackson was the fifth best cornerback a season ago. So we're not just making stuff up here. I mean, there's a reason that Kareem Jackson is getting the money he is, because he's a damn good football player.
Right. And that's what he is. You know, sometimes you get cornerbacks that are one-dimensional. And I don't really mind it, but Kareem Jackson's a football player. He can play strong safety for you. You can put him at free safety. He can play corner. I mean, you can move him all over the place. He'll tackle. He's a very versatile guy. And those guys are really, really valuable. And the secondary and up front on the offensive line, very valuable to have guys that are versatile. Can play inside, can play safety, can play outside.
But you do expect him to be playing corner day one.
Yes. I do. But the versatility is a plus, right? You know, you do expect him to be outside playing cornerback, but at the same time, being able to move a guy like that around, and in this, in today's NFL, you need cornerbacks. You know, two guys, that's a minimum. I mean, so, you know, we got a draft coming up. They still might go cornerback at 10.
They could.
Very easily.
They could.
Vic Fangio talked about it. I mean, you need cornerbacks in this league. I mean, it is a three wide receiver league. That's what it is.
Yep.
That's what teams are going to. And it's a premium position, cornerback is, because it's hard to find good ones. And the Broncos found a good one.
And we have another guy in our secondary in Justin Simmons that has that strand of versatility himself. I feel much better about our secondary right now. I have been, and we have been all, anyone who has eyes, has been down on the secondary this past year comparatively to what we have been watching, you know, with the no-fly zone and, you know, the handful of previous years. Hopefully we can get back to some semblance of that with this move. Chris Harris, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, I feel a lot better today than I did yesterday. And again, this is not going to be a you know, it's not going to be perfect, guys. It's not going to be perfect.
Well, I look at it and I, you know, I feel a lot better about our secondary, certainly. And it could be added to still in free agency. You know, you look at the safety position. Will they stay in-house there? Or will they go out there and look to get a safety? It looks like, you know, a lot of speculation about Adrian Amos from the Bears, played with Vic Fangio, and his defense might be a possibility. It looks like, I think he's signing with the Packers maybe, so he'll be off the list. But you got a lot of really good quality safeties. You'll be able to find a guy there for great value. And I was hoping for Tyrann Mathieu.
I know.
Him going to the Chiefs, oh, that hurts. It's a really good football player. But there's still a lot of really good quality players at that position that you could explore. You know, you're not going to make the splashy move that you made here with these guys, but you'll be able to get great value at that position if you want to go there. If not, you might just stay in-house. Might be Simmons, Will Parks, Simmons. And
I don't hate that either.
Whoever else.
I don't hate that. I see a couple questions here on the RamosLaw.com text line. Hey, how come these guys' hometown teams didn't give them these types of deal? Is this the same thing as Case Keenum and the Vikings? No, these guys, I'm sure, wanted to keep these players home, just like we want to keep Matt Paradis home. But it's just about, can you reach the level of compensation? It just takes one team like the Broncos to say to, you know, Juwan James, yeah, we'll make you the highest paid right tackle ever.
Right.
They're just not, you know, Miami can't do that.
There's only, you know, and some teams move on for guys for different reasons. New coaches, new structure in the front office. They're trying to reset their salary cap, and they don't want to give up big contracts right now. We're going to get our cap in order, and we'll explore that 2 years down the road. We got time. And so there's a lot of different reasons why teams don't re-sign their own priorities. You know, what's their priorities? I mean, they got other people that they have to re-sign. And maybe they don't have the cap room to be able to match the Broncos. Maybe the Broncos just made them a much better offer. Hey, you know, Texans were coming in at $28 million and Broncos said $33 million, and they gave $5 or $6 million guaranteed to Kareem Jackson. So there's a lot of different reasons why. It's not saying the guy's not a good football player. I mean, you look down the list. I mean, we got T.J. Ward. We got Aqib Talib. We got, you know, DeMarcus Ware. And why did the Cowboys move on for DeMarcus Ware? Contract, getting a little bit older. They were just moving on to a younger guy.
It's the league.
That's the league. That's what happens. But I would never look at it as a situation as why are they moving on? Maybe they got a younger cornerback that they drafted in the first round last year. And they're just, it's time for him to play. We just got to move on. Not that saying that Kareem Jackson or Juwan James aren't good players. That's not what it's saying at all. So don't read too much into that as why aren't their home teams, their original team, signing them.
And you said something earlier in this segment. You said, hey, now you can just draft best available. And this is ideally where you want to be. Address your needs, your glaring needs, in free agency so you can take the best guy on the board sitting there at 10. Now, hey, Devin White's there. You can draft Devin White.
I mean, it's two guys now, Zach. It's really two guys.
Hopefully my guy is in the mix here.
It's really two guys.
Devin White.
And TJ.
Yes. No, not you're close. Hawkinson.
Gosh.
Hey.
That H always gets me.
Tell you what.
Hawkinson.
We got to remember. I've heard a lot of people kind of dismiss it.
That I was on the way over here today.
I heard Troy. I heard Troy. Like, hey, it's that's a reach for me. Like, that's a reach for me at 10.
TJ?
TJ Hawkinson. He said, you'll be able to get, you know, his teammate, you know, maybe in the second round. First, you're not going to get a Noah Fant in the second round. Probably not. But more importantly, when you look at who TJ Hawkinson is, and I don't want to get too deep into the draft here, to say he's a reach, you would be saying that because it's the position that you just simply don't want to draft a tight end at number 10, which is fine if that's what you think.
You don't want to draft a guard at 5 either, or 6. But you drafted Quentin Nelson last year if you're the Indianapolis Colts, and you're thrilled with that.
Right.
So you didn't want to.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to draft a guard in the top 7, 8, 10 picks.
But if he's that good, like
great.
I believe TJ Hawkinson, you're going to drop him in someone's offense and he's going to be Travis Kelce for you? That to me is not a
reach. That's worth 10. I was thinking about him on the way in. Now, what the possibilities of these signings do for the Broncos when it comes to the draft. Now, if you love Greedy Williams, you still can take Greedy Williams.
Sure.
I think they take a cornerback in the second round now. I think cornerback is a position that they take in the second round. I think in the first round, they're freed up. And certainly a guy like Devin White would be very, very interesting and would be a great fit for the Denver Broncos. But TJ Hawkinson would be a great fit also. You're talking about getting that tight end position fixed and having a tight end to pair with Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Emmanuel Sanders, and just moving forward, I'm projecting like 3 years down the road.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Having this core together, like the young core of Cortland, Deshaun, Philip Lindsay, and TJ. And then also, look, I still hold out hope Jake Butt, and I do like and having that 1-2 punch between those two guys. I mean, it could be really, really nice, and you could flip this offense really quick and go from, you know, an offense that you know would fit in perfectly in the 1960s to a 2019 offense like that, and that gets me excited about being able to draft a guy like TJ Hawkinson.
You now have that flexibility. That if he's there, you have the option. Not saying that that's what they'll do, but you'll have the option.
I hope he's available. I hope one of those two guys are available because I take either one of them. And right now, I don't know if I might be leaning more towards TJ with you.
Come on now.
Just because of the excitement that gets me of this young core offensively moving forward. And Joe Flacco. Right, we need to upgrade the offensive line for him, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've done that. It will be better. Does he like throwing the ball to the tight ends?
Sure he does.
I would say he loves to throw the ball to the tight ends. Okay, you know, you got Todd Heap down there, you got Dennis Pitta. I mean, he loves throwing the ball to the tight ends. Does this offense like using tight ends? I mean, all you got to do is think about what we saw against our game against San Francisco.
Right,
and,
enough said.
Yeah, enough said. So he would be, a really, really good fit with this young offense, these young playmakers. And if he's available at 10, I think it's going to be hard for John Elway to pass on him.
Well, that's what you can do now because of these moves.
Yes.
And what if, and this is a real pie in the sky, what if in one offseason the Broncos could resolve the right tackle and the tight end position in one offseason? The dramatic contrast that we would see year over year would be eye-opening.
And that's what free agency and the draft can do for you. You know, you get coaching changes, you hit in free agency, you hit in the draft with playmakers and players that can make impacts right away. You can turn around organizations really, really quickly, especially one like this that's not, you know, it's not, we're not talking about really badly run organizations for the last 10, 15 years. Like some of these organizations, those take time. Like Cleveland, it takes time. Yeah. There's a process there. But an organization that has a foundation like this one and still has a good core group, if you make the right moves and the right changes, coaches, quarterback position, add a couple more playmakers, next thing you know, you go from 6-10 to 10-6 really easily. That's the way it works in the NFL.
I like to be good, but I also like to be lucky.
There you go, John. Well, how about this? In a window where we're watching for moves, and we've been stalking the moves coming out of Dove Valley here in the last 24 hours, the best move, I'm thankful, is one that John Elway didn't make. I'll tell you who and why next.